This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome to the Cassie Sobelton Show. This is a podcast focused on mind, body, and spirit wellness. I'm your host, Cassie Sobelton, a best-selling author, speaker, and wellness expert. You can find me online at CassieSobelton.com. Each week, we'll dive into a different wellness topic with a focus on teaching you how to achieve wellness realistically. No lofty goals, no over-the-top crazy diets. This is wellness for the real world. Just practical, easy suggestions and ways to improve your life. Thank you for listening. Now onto the show.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beauty focus, EOU. Ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. My acres of a land.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Cassie Sobelton Show. I am here this week with John Salley, and I'm super excited to have John here this week. You probably know John from the NBA world, and he was a superstar in that world and now has transitioned over into this new world as a wellness advocate. He's a vegan. He has a vegan wine called the Vegan Vine. He has a great vegetarian starter kit on his website, which we'll talk a little bit about. He retired in 2000 from the NBA, and he's done a lot in TV and film. He's been on a lot of shows, such as The Ballers, The Best Damn Sports Show, period, Game On. He hosts a John Salley block party on 100.3, an LA morning show. He was on the VH1 Basketball Wives. He's done so much, very impressive, and it's wonderful to have you here, John.
Well, I love being there. I think I waited long enough. I talked to you about it.
Well, I'm so excited to have you.
Thanks for having me on.
You know, we met at Joel Kahn's restaurant, vegan restaurant in Ferndale, Michigan.
Yeah.
And it's called Green Space, and I know that you like it as much as I do. But, you know, getting into the vegan aspect of things, how long have you been vegan?
I've eaten a vegan diet since 2008.
Wow.
I was a line vegetarian since 1991.
Good for you. And so you
I started right there in Michigan, right there at Om Cafe.
Oh yeah,
in Ferndale.
Right.
And yeah, microbiotic. And then I, would say I'm a vegetarian, but eat turkey and eat cheese and drink milk and help murder all kind of animals. So I was a lion vegetarian.
Wow. Well, that's quite the starting path, I guess, right? You were taking a couple steps towards it.
Yeah,
what made you to actually...
First, identifying it, right?
Right. And how'd you make the jump?
Well, I was doing a PSA for PETA.
Okay.
And literally my friend and my assistant were eating the food in the back. Like, they wasn't even watching me shoot the PSA. And I went back there, and she was like, yo, they laid this out for you. I go, yeah, but your mouth is stuffed. And they were eating it, and cream cheese, and there's bagels, and it was this seitan, and it was all kind of things that just looked like regular, craft services.
Right.
But everything was from a plant.
Wow. Yeah.
And that day, I became a vegan.
Good for you. So it's like you realized it was possible, and it could actually be tasty.
Yeah, like before, I thought some of the stuff I tasted with the word vegan on it was styrofoam with barbecue sauce.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. But since then, the food scientists that make people eat processed food and make them think that it is good for them.
Right.
Has proven that you can make all kind of things just with chemicals and call it food. Well, we realize you can manipulate a plant. And it is food.
Absolutely.
And it's some of the things I've seen done with cauliflower, cheese from, I'm working with a company called VioLife. My partner David is right there out of Michigan.
Nice.
Out of the Detroit area. And yeah, VioLife, and it makes the coconut, it's made out of coconut in every variation. And it smells and looks and tastes and melts and does all of it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I had to get involved in it. So it's so many things that are happening and changing that we don't have to use things that aren't good for us. We don't have to It's not your mom. It's not your milk, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think the big thing is we're putting money into this study now. You know, we're finally, we have enough people and a movement behind this that we're putting money into how to make healthy food, real whole food, taste good.
Yeah.
And so Violife, tell us a little bit more about that. This is coconut-based food products or drinks or all of it?
No, it's cheese products.
Cheese,
and,
okay.
And they also have some yogurts coming out, some cultures coming out.
Awesome.
I mean, I was blown away. I was a year and a half ago, I'm walking around the Natural Food Expo here in Anaheim, California, and the last booth I go to are the guys from Violife, and they hand me a piece of Parmesan cheese. And I said, oh, no, I'm a vegan. Goes, we know. I said, well, why would you hand me cheese? It's not dairy. And I started eating it. I ran over to that booth, and I've been trying to work with them ever since. And it's going to be a phenomenon, because that has been, I remember the last thing when they were like, are you sure you're going to be a vegan? And I was like, that's no New York pizza is done. And I used to, when I, 2009, I was in Manhattan, and going by my favorite pizza parlor, I crossed the street, walked up, looked away from it. I mean, I did not want to be, you know, tempted. And then the more and more I didn't eat it, and I realized what it was doing to the inside of my body, I told whatever selfish part that literally thought it was cool to put mucus in my body, some other animal's pus in my body. I was like, oh, that was so stupid. Like, why was I doing that? So it was for the taste. And I was like, but was it the taste or was it, why can't I get the taste and not get the pus and the glue? And figured out you can.
Right.
And I was like, wow, so you can make this taste like that with a taste that tells my sensors and my parasites that like that taste, but the food is not going to block my arteries or cause me mucus or get stuck in my intestines. So I just learned certain things, like if I can get what I want and it be good for me, that's a win-win.
That's right. I agree wholeheartedly. And it's becoming easier and easier to do that with products and lines like Violife. And by the way, how do you spell Violife?
V-I-O-L-I-F-E.
That's great. I assume that they have a website, but are they also selling in stores?
Well, we, David and I, literally the brokers bringing it into America right now. At, you know, it still have to go around and sell. There's a bunch of people that would probably request it, but when it comes into the States, we're working diligently with our suppliers and distributors to get it into the stores.
That's great. So if I went to Whole Foods,
like when people say, oh, it's a great product, it should be in the stores, they don't realize that Whole Foods alone is 85,000 products.
Right.
So kind of hard to move somebody over, get more space. They're already piled on top of one another.
Yeah, they are.
Plus, we don't want the wrong price, so we want to make sure we get to more places.
Right. Yeah, that's great. I have to check that out. I'm going to get on that, and being that it's here local, I'm sure there's some places that I could find it. So I'm gonna...
Well, I'm sure I can get you a couple of bags since you're in Detroit.
Oh, I'd love that. Thank you. Yeah, I think, you know, a big thing I've learned, too, is that going into grocery stores and asking for these products and letting them know that I want it, and if there's enough of us asking for certain products, they'll start to carry it.
Yeah. Also in that wonderful town, there's a lot of opportunity to open up an eatery downtown that I'm looking into. Obviously, it'd be a plant-based eatery as well. See, a lot of things what I want to do is, which I realized being a vegan for 8 years, is a lot of people, like they call it a transition. Like you're moving from something to something else. Well, you always are.
That's right.
You see a kid and you say, man, you're getting tall, or you're getting older, or you're growing. Well, everyone is.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to grow. It's not really, you know, they call a transition. I got these things that are like, I find chicken wings, pizzas, nachos, cheese, kombucha, beer, I find everything that can be made without animal products, and most of the time won't hurt you, but with the same taste. So it gives you the same, that idea of celebration after a win. You want to have a beer, that taste,
right,
without the bad.
And
so I find all these things and I say, well, what if you could literally do the same thing you're doing, get the same taste, same sensation, same smell, same reaction, same feeling of going to a barbecue, but having field roast links instead of ones from a pig.
Right.
Having Beyond Meat hamburgers that look, smell, and taste like it and take less time to cook. To literally have a pizza made that doesn't have animal on it. And, you know, just that mentality. What if all of a sudden you can eat healthy and it tastes good?
Right.
So that's kind of eatery I think I want to be involved with, how I get. That's why I love Dr. Khan's place.
Yep.
I love, you know, Vegan Soul downtown in Detroit. But I think I want to get back into it.
I think it's a great idea.
Into the whole rebuild.
I spent Saturday down in Detroit hopping around all the different areas that are just thriving, and it's so fantastic. And to have a vegan eatery down there, I think would do incredibly well, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
I love that.
So
there's food, of course, and, you know, one other thing is, you know, these things taste great and they're not going to do harm, but in addition, they're medicine. You know what I mean? We're literally putting nature's medicine in our body. And why wouldn't people do that? And it's, you know, I think people are getting more and more on board. But, you know, the vegan wine, I love this. I love the idea. I love what you're doing. You know, I'm a huge advocate of wine. I've taken the year off of drinking, but I can't wait to try your wine when I start drinking again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You start drinking again.
When I start drinking again. I took off 16, so we'll see what happens in 17. But how did this all come about? It's vegan vine, right?
Yes, it's the vegan vine wine. Michigan being one of the first places to sell most of it, really. I got it into the Whole Foods downtown Detroit and then Ann Arbor and some other places, and it just took off. And the way I got into it is I wanted to be in the beverage business. You know, I'm putting together a television show right now called After the League, and it just deals with athletes, you know, from all different leagues.
Oh, wow.
Male and female. So we see, and I'm so tired of seeing all the stories that they put up when we're down on our luck.
Yeah.
But they don't do the stories when we're up on our luck.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They don't do the stories that show the athletes that have transitioned into business, into coaching, into Adrian Dantley, successful, has his money saved, know everything about. He's a crossing guard at his kid's school. Like, people be like, why would you do that? He was like, let me see. I'm 60 years old. When I'm retired, I got benefits. And he goes, I'm doing something.
Good for him.
What do y'all want me to do? And it was so funny, you know, how they put us in a situation. He goes, I don't need any money.
Right.
You know, I'm making sure kids are, you know, I'm watching this on TV, how unsafe kids are. I'm making sure kids are safe, sure they see me. I was like, wow, that's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah, good for him.
So, yeah. So I just did that. I literally, in that thought, I was like, all right, what's my next thing? And I wanted to be in the beverage business. Because I realized people are going to drink.
Oh, yeah.
Eat, right? Those are the two things you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the food part is, yeah, you know, I got to the frozen food part. I'll talk more about that as it goes. But the wine that came to me just as an ambassador, because I was, you know, a guy who knew, a friend of mine knew that I wanted to be in the wine business, and he saw this wine. And then I went on to get a piece of it and then become owner of it, part owner of it, in most of the country, except for 5 countries, owner of the label. So I just knew that it could be something that it takes money, it takes time, but it also promotes veganism. Because over a glass of wine, they like the wine because it's just a really strong California wine from a great winery called Colchance, which is in St. Martin, which is right outside San Jose. On a wonderful vineyard that's been there for 23 years, I think, now. And it's a strong red cab.
Ooh, that's my favorite.
A really, really, really good Chardonnay. And the Chardonnay has never been oaked. It's been in steel drums, made the newer way, and it's really crisp. You taste and smell every bit of the fruit. So it's a strong California Chardonnay, and it's a strong Cabernet. California Cabernet, and that was the one way I know, because if you all of a sudden taste it and you got a really good wine, it's not a cheap wine.
Right.
It's inexpensive, but it's not cheap. It's like $22 a bottle now, I think. But it's a good wine. It's a good, I think you can even get it for $15.99 in Michigan.
Oh, wow.
It's a really good tasting wine. So once you do that and you go, this is vegan, then wow, we got one thing vegan that tastes great.
Right.
And then the next thing that tastes great. And then the next thing that tastes great. Then after a while, it's a real choice. It's a real option.
Yeah, it certainly is.
That's the way I looked at it.
No, that's great. You know, I like I said, I was a big wine person, and I'm into heavy cabs, so the Camuses and the Nickel and Nickel and Cake Breads and those types of things. And I went on a little crusade a few years ago trying to find vegan wines, and probably found about three or four that I heard were decent. I ordered them. And they weren't that great. There was one, and I can't remember the name of it, that was decent. But it was tough because my palate was so used to these very good wines, meaning the taste. And then when I went to flip over to some of the others, I couldn't find the same taste. So I'm very excited to try your wine.
Well, we found you.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well, they were part of the book launch, and I think everyone got a wine or something at the event that we were at together, and I remember going, darn it, I wish I could try that wine, but 2017, here I come.
Yes.
Yeah.
2017, open up.
That's right. So are you still involved?
Also 2017 in wonderful Michigan. Hopefully it passes as it's supposed to pass, is the medical marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
And, definitely coming back. My lawyer and business partner, Otis Culpepper, well-known lawyer there in Michigan, and is doing all the legalese. I do not want to come back and tarnish my bad boy image. You know, I want to be known as a bad boy in the basketball court, but
right.
Not, you know, around anything else. So Bad Boy Sally, that's it. I'm coming back. A couple of my friends there. And this is, you know, after seeing what it's done here in California and mm-hmm. what it's done in the wonderful state of Colorado, it's just, you know, people are like, man, I can't believe that you would tell people that they should get high. And I said, I didn't tell people they should get high. One thing I did say, I think they should be allowed to smoke marijuana,
right,
especially after the games. And they were like, what? I said, I've never heard of a guy going to a bar.
I know where you're going. I love it.
You never hear that. You never hear of DUI. You hear of DUI.
Mm-hmm.
You never hear of a guy smoking weed and then going home and beating up his girlfriend or wife
right.
with domestic violence. You don't hear that.
Very
you
true.
Hear if somebody was using it like they're supposed to, like it's a great thing to use. Especially if you're a football player, which is told to be a savage, and then take your uniform off, put on a suit, and don't be a savage anymore.
Right.
It's ridiculous that they think that is anybody's capable of doing it. Anyone.
Absolutely.
You got actors who act a certain role and can't get out of the role. How would you expect somebody to want to take somebody's head off? And then because they went to the showers, they no longer want to take someone's head off.
Right.
It's just not how it works.
Yep.
Warriors are warriors. And so it's what same thing happened in with veterans. Once certain things happen to their brains, you can't expect when they come home to be a civilian.
Absolutely.
We have to take care of this problem. And I think medical marijuana will do that. And so I'm jumping in at full force. I know it. I know what it does recreational. I have done it recreational, but for medically, for me personally, been phenomenal.
Yep. I agree wholeheartedly. And I have a long history with marijuana. I used to smoke a ton of pot when I was young. It was inappropriate in its use. And now I'm, again, 2017, clean and sober. It's great. But I see no issues with smoking marijuana. And I don't understand. I mean, of course, there is that whole, you know, anything done in excess is not healthy for you. But I would much rather see people smoking pot than going out and just getting, you know, shit-faced drunk. And,
I never smoke when I play.
Yeah.
First time I smoked, I know it sounds so crazy. I didn't even drink until I was 32.
Wow.
So I was, it was 20 years ago. So I didn't do any of that. I was raised like a Jehovah's Witness, and at some certain events when I saw my best friend got murdered, my father was abused alcohol. So I just stayed away from it because I didn't want it to be, I didn't want that to be my obituary.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I spoke, I think it was a month before my retirement. it was, I think it was in May 2000 was the first time I smoked any marijuana. And when I tell you, I was doing yoga and stretching and breathing. I was like, what is in that? I was taking like 4 Advil a day just to, you know, you wake up, you brush your teeth, you take 2 Advil. You go to practice and you're shooting around and you start doing your warm-up. For a warm-up, you take 2 Advil.
Yep.
At the end of practice, you're in ice, and after working out and talking and all that stuff, and you take 2 Advil.
Oh, boy.
And I was, you know, I'm not going against the company Advil, but we see what opioids do to the body. And you can't keep taking them. And I was doing that for, I don't know, since 19, so I understand, 1987,
yep,
all the way to 2000. So, you know, the way I was damaging my body with these things that were hurting my kidneys and my liver, and not doing what it was supposed to do to my joints. A lot of people don't know. So I stay natural. I stay healthy by eating, putting fuel in this Mustang Sally built in 1964. I keep it as close to mint condition as possible. And I pay attention to what I put in. I pay attention to the gas I put in my car. I pay attention to the antifreeze I put into the car. I pay attention to the oil grade I put into the car. I pay attention to whether it's Armor All I put in on my car, what kind of wax I put on my car, what I wipe my windows with. I pay very close attention.
Mm-hmm.
As much as people do to an inanimate object like an automobile is the way I take care of my car.
Good for you.
Is the way I take care of my body.
Right.
No different.
I'm the exact same way. Only oils and natural products go on my skin. I mean, down to the toothpaste I use. And, you know, people, I think, don't realize how those types of chemicals that are in all those things will add up over time. And just like you said with the Advil, taking a couple Advil, you know, once a month, big deal. But when you're doing it in excess, when you're taking them every day, all day, just to sustain, you know, a moving body, it's going to add up. And so there's
what we consider to be a normal life. It's just a crazy thought.
Yep, that's for sure. So the cannabis thing, that's very exciting. And I have my background and kind of how I got into this whole world was I had severe Crohn's disease and had the majority of my colon and probably about half of my small intestines removed. And I was put on all these pills. I mean, you know, 30-some, 40-some pills to take the rest of my life. And I decided I wasn't going to do it. Searched for a holistic route and raw vegan for years, completely reversed the disease. Now I'm not raw vegan, but nearly vegan. I sometimes go outside of it with some eggs here and there. But it's one of the diseases that has been approved for medical marijuana. And I will say, and I haven't had an issue with it in many years, thank God. But when I used to, you know, it was painkillers for the blockages, which were horrible because, you know, the blockages are caused by digestive issues and there's literally a blockage in your intestines and a painkiller stops your digestive tract. So the medicine they're giving to help with the pain is worsening the condition versus cannabis, which actually just dulled the pain and allowed the body to still process through and heal itself, which was help the blockage move through. And it's unbelievable to me that there was problems and there were people who wanted it to not become legal, you know, when it's the best medicine out there for certain conditions.
Yeah,
that's huge.
And for certain conditions, I'm going to say, remember, as the great Dr. Sabi would say, all if you have a kidney problem, you have a liver problem, if you have colitis, if you have eczema, if you have irritable bowel syndrome, which
IBS.
A whole new one, right? Meaning if you can't go to the bathroom, you have all that. Then the system is sick, not just the kidneys.
That's right.
So it's the system that needs to become alkaline. It's the system that needs to be clean. You need to clean it all out because if there's any injustice, it's all injustice. So anything in your body, if there's one part of your body that's in dis-ease, the rest of your body is in dis-ease because it should go and flow.
Right.
So people say, so you're talking about a cleanse? And I go, I'm talking about cleansing.
Right.
Not just a cleanse. I'm talking about constantly working through it. Like literally somebody said, hey, we just found $250 billion. Yeah. So we're going to remake the city and we're going to take all the plumbing and we're going to redo all the plumbing and we're going to redo all the electricity and we're going to redo all the subways and we're going to do all the roadways and we're going to redo all the buildings and the apartments and condos and houses in this entire, we're going to make a brand new city. But we got to slowly break down the city in pieces.
Yep.
We can't just atom bomb it and then expect to build. We have to literally, we're building onto the construct that is, but we're enhancing it.
That's right.
So
I love
good
that.
Way of looking at it, eh?
Yeah, it's really nice. And, you know, when I hear that, I think often about when I was younger and the type of food, I just wasn't living a healthy lifestyle and we ate fast food a lot growing up. And, you know, I had a single mom and God bless her, you know, she did the best she could do. But a lot of that revolved around unhealthy eating and, you know, packaged foods and fast foods and those types of things, which obviously got me to where I was in my condition with Crohn's disease. I always think back and just think, God, if, you know, if a child starts out young eating properly, they're never going to get, you know, to deterioration. They're never going to have a state of disease if they just keep it there. And, you know, when I heard that you were really advocating the Child Nutrition Act, it makes so much sense. And I've done a little bit of lobbying myself in the healthcare world. And I don't know if you're still involved in that or if there's been any movement forward, but I'd love to hear about it.
Well, one of the things with the wonderful people of a physician committee for responsible medicine, which, like you mentioned on my website, my vegetarian starter kit, which is comes from Dr. Bernard. When we realized, you know, that's our lobby group. And our lobby group, we realized that they were somehow trying to get rid of free lunch. Okay, it sounds bad. So, no one should get a free lunch. Everybody should work. But they don't really understood what it meant. It meant that there's places that also means there weren't going to be any breakfasts. In most communities where none of the kids get to eat breakfast or lunch and may not have dinner. And on top of that, not only do they have to eat it, the food that they were serving in schools are surplus foods, literally packaged foods with tons of chemicals that are aiding and abetting the making of childhood obesity.
Yep.
And there's no option. The option were they were strong enough to put the word pizza, the food pizza, as a vegetable because it had tomato sauce on it.
Right.
So this is, we were asking not only that they keep it alive because there will be no, one, the kids aren't getting food anyway. Mm-hmm. We're not going to call it, they call it food, but we don't have enough time on your podcast for that.
Right.
Right.
Frankenfoods, right?
What they were getting, they were going to take away, which was surplus food in the first place. And we said, if you're going to give them food and you're saying you really do care, it should have an option between vegetarian and vegan and the animal flesh that you have convinced them is good for them.
Right.
But they should have an option to know that there's healthy food here as well. We have a surplus of that. Don't stop letting that go to waste and make sure these kids know what health is. Don't tell them they should be healthy, but not give them an opportunity or options to be healthy.
They're not teaching them anything. It's like you're teaching them to be unhealthy.
Yeah. If you're telling them, hey, don't do drugs.
Right.
Don't do drugs. I've said this, you say, don't do drugs. And then you open up drugstores on every corner like a Starbucks, what are you telling them?
Right. That is so funny you said that, John.
When the pharmacy is big as half the size of the store, what are you telling them?
Totally. Yeah, I always say, you know, the thing in America with the food system and the food system, the lobbyists are so strong and they're paying so much money to keep everything legal. And it's like basically taking the entire country, getting them addicted to heroin, taking it back and going, don't do heroin. It's bad for you. Like, what do you think people are going to do? They've learned how to do heroin. Their brain sensors, you know, light up for heroin. They're addicted to heroin. And then you're going to say it's bad for you. Don't do it. I think that's what they've done with our food supply.
Yeah. Say, hey, you know. Don't, you shouldn't eat refined sugar.
Right.
We're going to put it in everything.
Everything. Make you completely addicted.
It's going to be in every single thing. It was so funny when I became a vegan and I started reading ingredients. And I said, why is the milk in popcorn? Tell me, who says microwavable popcorn should have milk in it?
Mm-hmm.
And then I got even further, and I was like, why is this microwave allowed in the kitchen?
Right. Absolutely.
I was like, why? Does anybody really know what's really happening?
Right. It takes 2 minutes in the microwave and 4 minutes on the stove.
And yeah.
It cracks
and
me
I
up.
Said, so cancers have gone up
right.
500%.
Mm-hmm.
And women. The microwave there.
Yep.
And I was like, it has to be all the things going around. It can't just be this. And then I looked and I took it from my wife. We went through every product on her skin. We went through everything she was washing her hair with. Mm-hmm. Everything that was in her makeup.
Right.
Lipstick, mouthwash, toothpaste, floss, detergent, softeners, fabric. And she was like, what are you doing? You're being crazy. I said, well, I don't know. A lot of women getting breast cancer.
Yep.
And I don't know.
Deodorant.
How is it accelerating? I said, it must be just a gathering of all kind of different chemicals.
Yep.
Sure enough, changed the deodorant.
Mm-hmm.
Changed everything. The smell, the underarm smell was different. Feet smell, feces smell.
Yep.
Every smell of every different orifice in your body wind up being different. And I was like, wow, we're detoxifying.
Yep.
But we're detoxifying our environment too. So it's, you know, I'm sorry to go on a tangent, but
it's a good tangent and I'm there with you.
Yeah.
And I get it. And it was a interesting transition over a few years for me and getting there, you know, every single thing that goes on my body, in my body, even the water in my house is reverse osmosis. And it's something that you have to be diligent about if you want to do this. And it cracks me up because I see a lot of people
question everything.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. And I agree with you on the microwave. And God, it's tough to get through to people. Like you said, you know, you're acting crazy. And it's like, really, am I the one acting crazy? Like, I think society's crazy and everyone's so brainwashed by it.
You're acting crazy.
Yep.
Stand in line and walk like you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Consumerism at its best.
Status quo. Just be quiet. Be quiet, meaning don't question anything. They get that confused with humility.
Right.
I said, no, being humble is one thing. Being quiet and subjective and compliant is entirely another.
That's right.
I told them, they were like, well, if it was that bad for you, the government wouldn't have put it out. It would be illegal. I said, Dick Gregory said it, don't get legal and right confused.
That's right.
Slavery was legal,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't right.
Right.
So don't get them confused.
That's right. I hear a lot of people that say
don't
that.
Don't look and say, well, the government would allow it to be so.
Yeah,
well,
right.
You might need to pay attention to who owns the product.
That's right. Yep. The government has a lot of strong lobbyists at their door who have a lot of money. And, you know, one thing I always tell people is look at Europe. Look at everything that's illegal over there that's legal here. So if you live in Europe, it's illegal and you wouldn't do it. But here it's considered extremism if I decide not to put these things on my body or in my mouth. And, you know, they have much stricter policies over there and their people are much healthier.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah, because there's people that care about people.
That's right. Yep. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's funny. I spent
time. I care about people.
I care about people, too. I'm glad about that, John. You're a good person. I spent much of the month of May in Europe. This was right after we met here in Michigan. I went over to Europe and bounced around England, and I went to Amsterdam and went to Munich, and the lifestyle over there is so different. Everything they buy is fresh. You know, they have such small places. They can only fit so much food in their tiny little fridges or their tiny little kitchens. And, you know, they buy food for a day or two and then it goes bad. And, you know, it was such an eye opener and reminder to me about our food system here and how, you know, things have shelf lives of a year and, you know, what they're putting in to make it happen. And it's just not that way over there. And I think that we're starting to transition, at least those of us that are conscious of it. But starting to make a change. You know, you had on your website, you have a mission of educating people on the benefits of healthy living, a healthy lifestyle through better eating habits. And I think that it's a huge mission. I think you've done a lot to advance it. And you've obviously put your money where your mouth is. You know, now going into the medical marijuana, you have this Vialife, you have the vegan vine wine. I mean, there's so much there. And I really commend you for everything that you're doing, because if I had all the money in the world, this is where I'd be spending it as well. And I think it really is powerful. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's an honor. And it's been an honor to have you on here. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I want you guys, if you want to, I'm looking for other health coaches. So do you want to become a health coach? You can literally, coming up on October, we have a health coach institute.
Good for you.
So you go to healthcoachinstitute.com/JohnSally, and you even get my discount.
Awesome.
It's a 6-month course. Learn how to become a health coach. Learn how to build. Like, I helped my friend Megan. She was a waitress, still is a waitress, when I met her at Bob Big Boy. And not only did she stop eating flesh, and when she was working there, she became a health coach. And half of her clients were her were the people who were her clients in Bob Big Boy.
Interesting.
So she wound up getting, like, yeah, 6 clients and helping them get healthy. And she was like, I get paid just from those 6 clients what I got paid to go to work every day for.
Good for her.
I said, man, maybe you should keep that job and get, you know, 6 more clients.
Yeah, well, that's clients. It, right? Talk about feeding your sales cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was a deal. Like, you're helping people in there. And she was like, everyone comes in there with, she sells a guana banana oil. So you can check her out on Instagram. It's Megan Vegan, MEGANVEGAN.
Oh, that's
Megan
great.
Vegan.
Megan.
And she sells it. So I don't know who's, I sent it to my brother who had prostate cancer, this guana banana oil, which is better known as Sarasot. And it works. I just thought I'd give her a shout out because, you know, I lost too many people to cancer, and I'm fighting it every day, I guess. So I'm also helping other people fight.
That's awesome.
And that's it.
And really, all of us are fighting cancer every day. I think a lot of people have the misconception that when you get diagnosed, you have cancer, and if you're not diagnosed, you don't. And, you know, we always have these cells that are mutating in our body. And, you know, if we're living the same type of lifestyle you and I live and are talking about, you know, we're constantly allowing our immune system to go in and fight these precancerous or cancerous cells that are sitting there and getting them under control before they get big enough to get diagnosed. And I think a lot of people have the misconception that you just have cancer or don't.
Yeah.
And this lifestyle will keep it at bay.
It's just mutating cells. All you have to do is get those cells not to mutate.
That's right. Yep. Well, that's the mission. So
I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate it as well. And I look forward to talking to you soon. And maybe I'll get to see you when you're in Detroit next.
Yeah, man. Check me on Twitter, too. The John Sally. S-A-L-L-E-Y.
Great. And you have the website, johnsally.com.
JohnSally.com and John Sally on Instagram.
Perfect.
And John Sally on Facebook.
You're John Sally everywhere. And Sally is S-A-L-L-E-Y. All right. Thank you, John. E-Y. Have a great day.
Thanks, love.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Cassie Sobelton Show. I hope you heard at least one easy health upgrade on today's show that you can immediately implement into your life. Remember, over time, implementing small health upgrades will make a big difference in your health. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Cassie Sobelton. For more information or to hire me as a speaker or wellness consultant, please visit CassieSobelton.com. See you next week.
This is a previously recorded episode.